Welcome, everyone. I am Julie Bieland, and we're recording live in the Sensitive Empowerment Community. And I'm very excited about today's topic, HSPs and the Polyvagal Theory with Suki Baxter. It's going to be such a great topic. Let me introduce Suki a little bit. Suki is the founder of Whole Body Revolution, where she helps ambitious high performers and creative geniuses to activate their full human potential and achieve an extraordinary physical and mental edge. Suki has over 15 years of experience in private practice as a manual therapist and is the author of Perfect Posture for Life. Welcome, Suki.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you this year. We've done multiple events with you. And I think I was just saying before we started recording, I love your brain and I love all the things that you teach us. And you've helped me a lot personally to connect and understand my body. You helped me get rid of back pain. I mean, so many things. So I have a lot of personal love for you and very excited to share you with the community in general.
Well, thanks again for inviting me here. I'm really excited to talk to this community. I think there's a really lovely intersection between your work, Julie, and my work. And, you know, I'm not nearly the HSP expert that you are. And yet I get a lot of HSPs, finding their way into my community because of the type of work that I do. So I think this is a really great natural meshing of two very interesting communities.
I totally agree. And I just really value the work that you do. And I can't wait to share all your resources with the community. I really like what you said about what you want for today's event. And I just want to read a little bit of that because it's going to be a good starting point for us. And you said, I'd like to help HSPs understand that they're not broken or damaged and empower them with tools they can use to thrive as an HSP in a chaotic world that doesn't always value the inherent skills and abilities that we bring to the table. I firmly believe that this is by empowering each person to live from their own place of truth rather than conform to contrived cultural norm that we will ultimately heal as a society. And it just gives me goosebumps just to read that. I love that, Suki.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely still concur with that. And it's such a common thing that I hear from HSPs, whether it's actually explicitly said or whether it's sort of a subterranean belief that I can hear coming through, is this idea that, like, well, I have this trait of high sensitivity and therefore I just have to suffer because the world's not structured for me and it's not set up in a way that supports me thriving, and therefore, like, things are just really awful for me. And I think that being an HSP, I am an HSP. Like I said, I'm not nearly the expert that you are, but I have the personal experience of it. And, you know, being an HSP comes with its challenges, but I think it also comes with its gifts. And when we can learn to navigate being an HSP through the lens of the nervous system, it allows us to shift more into the strength of our sensitivity rather than sort of being assaulted by this world that is just overwhelming and chaotic and definitely not structured in a way to support us in being our most healthy, most fully expressed selves.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with you. And I love that we share that mission of, I mean, it ultimately comes down to understanding who we are, what we need, not comparing ourselves to the 80% that don't have this trait, and understanding too that, yes, society isn't created for how we experience the world as sensitive people, and that there isn't something wrong with us for that reason. We have to sort of try to learn about how to best take care of ourselves and to change those messages, right, about that there's something wrong with us, and to change those messages that there's not something wrong with us, that we need to just learn how to support our nervous system. So what a fantastic event today. So Suki, tell me a little bit about what is, let's start from the beginning for people that might not even have heard of polyvagal theory. What is it? Why is it important for HSPs to know about it?
Yeah, so polyvagal theory is a theory of how your body and specifically your nervous system stores and processes stress of all kinds. Stress, trauma, all of the activating, charged experiences that you that you experience in life that you will have, because we do. We're not supposed to just kind of coast along being even keeled, even though that's kind of a message that you'll find out there too. But we're supposed to, you know, get activated and then kind of be able to discharge that. So a gentleman by the name of Stephen Porges did a lot of research and a lot of studying, and he came up with this understanding of how stress works in the body. Oh, I'm so sorry. I always forget that I have a phone connected to my computer because it never rings unless I'm on a call. So I apologize for that. So Stephen Porges came up with this theory of how your body processes stress. And what he noticed was that the old theory of stress was very binary. It was like an on-off switch. You were either in a stress mode or in a state of relaxation, which they call like the rest and restore, rest and digest. You might have heard of that. And the stress state was considered your fight or flight nervous system. And these were connected to structures in your body. So you do have a sympathetic nervous system that is in your body. It's a physical thing. It's not just an idea, but it's a physical structure in your body. And you also have a branch of your nervous system that is related to more of the autonomic functions like digestion, heart rate, respiration, all of the more subtle things that we don't necessarily have control over, respiration being the one exception. We can intervene there, although we don't have to. And what Porges discovered is that actually that rest and digest branch is your vagus nerve, and it has two branches. So it has a branch that's in the front of your body, which is called the ventral vagal nerve branch, ventral meaning front. Not very creative. And then you also have the dorsal vagal branch, which is in the back, dorsal meaning back, like a dorsal fin. Again, anatomical names are not super creative. So this vagus nerve is part of your parasympathetic or your calming rest and digest nervous system. And what we discovered, or what Porges discovered, is that there's kind of two ways it can get activated. It can get activated in a very healthy way, where it allows us to be connected to other people, where it allows us to connect to empathy and joy and laughter and play and all of the positive experiences of life, where we feel very safe. That is the ventral vagal branch, the one that's in the front. And when you're in that state, they call that ventral vagal social engagement. The rear branch, the dorsal vagal branch, is connected to sort of an immobilizing response. It's like playing possum. So this is more of a shutdown state. So you can actually be in your parasympathetic, your resting nervous system, in two ways. One is a healthy way, and one is a way in which you're kind of shut down, collapsed. You might have heard of like fawning or freezing. Those can be in this dorsal vagal branch as well. And you might connect that dorsal vagal more to emotions like shame or depression, lethargy, lack of motivation. Whereas that ventral vagal is generally highly motivated and curious. And you can think of it being a little bit childlike. So those are the two states of rest and digest. One is good. Well, one is pleasant, I should say. There's not really good and bad. One is pleasant. One is unpleasant. And then in between those, you've got your sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight response. So there's kind of three states that we can be in that are states of nervous system activation or autonomic arousal, however you want to term that. The ventral vagal being the most functional. These states have a profound influence on not only how we feel mentally and emotionally, but also our physical health. Because when you are in sympathetic, so when you are in your fight or flight stress response, or when you are in your dorsal vagal shutdown, your body is changing the way it allocates resources. So for example, in a sympathetic response, your breathing becomes very shallow and rapid and high up in your chest. And it actually perpetuates kind of an activated state. So you can actually put yourself into sympathetic activation by breathing really high up. And when you're there, it also puts you there in that breathing pattern, which kind of keeps it going. Slows your digestion and moves blood away from digestion. Because frankly, if you're running away from a tiger or whatever thing, it's really not important from a biological perspective that you digest your lunch. It impairs your ability to connect to other people too. Again, running away from a tiger, it's not really a good time to go on a first date. You know, that stuff can come later. So it puts you in this state of being primed for survival on a physical level, on an emotional level, and even your vision gets really pointed. So it changes the way you see the world. So there's a really great professor of, I believe, neurobiology. He's at Stanford. Andrew Huberman has a lovely podcast and does a lot of teaching on social media. And he talks about it being like portrait mode on the iPhone. So when you're in the stress state, you know how when you take those pictures and it like puts the subject of your pictures in really good focus and everything else behind it kind of blurs out and gets that sort of pixelated background look. That's what happens to your vision as well. We get really fixated on things and we sort of lose sight of all that's around us. So from a stress state, this can actually, again, perpetuate more stress because we become fixated on the problem. And this is a pattern that I see with people who are in this state. It's very difficult to connect to things that are maybe not problematic in life. And once you resolve one problem, the tendency then is to look for the next problem. It's not a mental problem. This is a state. This is literally your vision has changed. Your physiology and your focus has changed to only be able to perceive stressful stimulus. Because on a biological level, you feel like something's about to kill you. You can be fine, like thought-based, you can be totally fine. You can be rational. You can be looking around and knowing that you are in a safe environment, knowing that everything's okay, and yet feel these stress states and experience this kind of shift in your vision. Your hearing will also tune to low frequency sounds. People's faces that have a neutral facial expression will start to look more dangerous. So what happens is that when we're in these states, the whole world looks really threatening. Now, from a physical standpoint, I can extrapolate out and say like, well, if the whole world looks really dangerous, let's talk about how our bodies start reacting to stimulus like foods. So I think a lot of people who experience food sensitivities, I am one. I'm not going to say that doing nervous system work cures all of your food sensitivities. However, I have noticed that when stress states are active, I'm much more reactive to certain kinds of foods. So it just kind of puts you in this negative spiral of everything being problematic and everything being charged. And then our culture and our medical community in general tries to address these from a symptom-based standpoint. So they're looking at depression as one symptom. They're looking at a food intolerance as another symptom, right? So if you have a food intolerance, you change your diet, which can be helpful. If you have depression, you know, there's various therapies for that. And those can be helpful. I'm not at all negating the power of those. But it's sort of like your house is on fire and the smoke detector is going off and you're trying to look for the button to turn off the smoke detector. But the fire's still going, right? So really, my lens is how can we get that nervous system out of these stress states so that we're not walking around feeling like the world is this terrible, dangerous place, which sometimes it is, but for the most part, we're pretty safe.